relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You found America First. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, President Trump looks like he'll be in court for jury selection next week in the so-called hush money case. Don't love to call it that, but that's how we describe it when there are so many court cases that have been thrown against President Trump. Joining us right now is Will Scharf. He is a candidate for attorney general in Missouri. He is also a lawyer for President Trump. You can give him a follow on X at Will Scharf. And Will, thanks so much for being with us today. Welcome to America First.
Great to be with you as always. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I do want to preface that you are actually part of the gag order that was issued by Judge Marshall. So we're going to tread lightly here, especially because it's radio. I can't just ask you to blink twice when I ask you these questions. But knowing that as a context, explain if you think we will see this court case, because jury selection is scheduled for Monday. President Trump has tried to delay this. It has not worked so far. Do you think we'll be in court on Monday?
Yeah, look, I think more likely than not, we are going to go to trial Monday morning. And it's just really important to note how ridiculous that is. I mean, these are old allegations dating back to 2016 and 17. The core of this case was passed on by the Biden Department of Justice, by the FEC, by previous New York DAs over and over and over again. And yet radical leftists, Soros-funded DA Alvin Bragg thinks it's necessary to bring this absurd case to trial at the height of election season. They've pushed for this gag order that applies to President Trump and his people, basically prohibiting him from exercising his First Amendment rights to talk about crucial aspects of this case while he's a candidate for president of the United States of America. I mean, everything about this case just stinks of the politicization of our system of law enforcement, of the courts. It's absolutely outrageous. And it's part of this much broader abuse that we've seen, this unprecedented campaign of lawfare being waged against President Trump by Joe Biden and his political allies.
Yeah, look, I have been a President Trump supporter since I saw him come down the escalator. But I will tell you, I'm a supporter of this country, and I think President Trump would say the same thing. Before any person, I support the good of the country. What is disturbing here is that these people that are throwing cases at President Trump are just showing the rest of the country that we have an unequal system of justice. We have people who are willing to run and enrich themselves trying to take down President Trump because he is standing for all of us. He is fighting for all of us, and he is fighting for our country. And that's what makes this so disgusting. You've got Letitia James and Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis, and you name all of these people who have been going after him, and it makes it seem not very serious at all. If there were a crime here, we would want to know about it, but instead, it just feels like it's, again, politics being played through the legal system, Will.
Yeah, look, this is a concerted effort to get Trump at all costs. I'm a former federal prosecutor. I led over 100 federal felony cases. I'll tell you, from the perspective of a prosecutor, these cases aren't worth the paper that they're printed on. It's absolutely crazy that President Trump has now been indicted four times over non-crimes in four different courts. And again, most importantly, that at the height of a presidential election, he is being prosecuted by his principal political opponent, by Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the most un-American thing imaginable, the use of political prosecutions to interfere with a presidential election and ultimately to interfere with the rights of every American to select a candidate of their choice at the ballot next November. It's insane. It's got to stop. And I fear for the damage that Joe Biden and his political allies are doing to our constitutional republic and to our system of government.
Yeah, it is just causing nothing but distrust. And I know you can't talk about this, but I will mention that the judge in this case, his daughter is a huge fundraiser in the so-called hush money case, Judge Marchand's daughter. I mean, you wonder just how far the corruption goes. And I think it makes a lot of people wonder about our justice system. Now, this trial, you mentioned election interference. This is going to take President Trump off the campaign trail probably for 6 to 8 weeks. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the expectation of how long this trial is going to take. It's also worth noting that we're going to be back at the U.S. Supreme Court on our presidential immunity appeal on April 25th. But look, what President Trump does best is carry his message to the American people. I mean, he's a once-in-a-generation communicator. He has a First Amendment right to campaign vigorously for office. And this campaign of lawfare against him is depriving him of that right and Americans of their rights to hear his message and amplify it and be part of his campaign. I mean, that's really what's at the heart of this whole issue, this whole series of events. It's a totally unconstitutional abuse of our legal system. I will say, you know, we filed papers seeking to have Judge Marchand removed from this case because we believe that he's irretrievably biased. And that's a real problem here.
Let's come back and talk about that because we'll jump into exactly what the arguments will be and go into the details and specifics of this case. It starts Monday. Will Scharf is with us, candidate for attorney general in Missouri, also attorney for President Trump. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms, a literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
You heard the man. Let's do it. We're getting back to the show. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka today. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, it seems, even though he has tried to ask for a change of venue, to delay the trial, it looks like President Trump will be in court on April 15th. That's this coming Monday for the so-called hush money case brought by Alvin Bragg, the attorney general, the district attorney in Manhattan. Joining us right now is one of the attorneys for President Trump and candidate for attorney general in the great state of Missouri. You can give him a follow at Will Scharf on X. And Will, welcome back to America First. Now,
great to be with you.
Let's set the stage here because Monday is the big day. Jury selection will begin unless something else happens, but that's what seems to be the case. Explain to us the parameters of this hush money case, because that's not really the right term for it, right?
Yeah, you know, it's always called a hush money case. It's really not. It's at its heart, it's a business records case. That the allegation is that President Trump recorded a number of payments to his then lawyer, Michael Cohen, in 2016 and 2017 as legal retainer payments on his private business records. And Alvin Bragg says that that was false, that those were actually payments for something other than legal services. Now, typically under New York law, that would be a misdemeanor, a very, very minor offense, the sorts of which are never really prosecuted. In this case, Alvin Bragg is claiming that it amounted to a felony because those business records were entered in that way to conceal some sort of other crime. And he's been very cagey about defining what that crime might be. Now, it's worth noting again that the Biden Department of Justice looked at essentially this case and declined to prosecute. The FEC looked at this case and declined to take any action. Bragg's own office previously passed on prosecuting this case. So what they've done is take the most tenuous of legal theories imaginable. They've rammed an indictment through New York courts. And now they're going to force President Trump to leave the campaign trail for 6 to 8 weeks and stand trial for essentially made up non-offenses. It's absolutely crazy. And it just goes to show the lengths the left is willing to go to lie, cheat and steal their way to interfering in the 2024 election.
And I'm sure they love that this is going to be held. This court case will be done in Manhattan. One of the issues I think that President Trump and the legal team, which you're a part of, was arguing for is to get a change of venue, because it's hard to imagine, given the fact that both Letitia James and Alvin Bragg were elected to their position because they promised to go after President Trump, that you might be able to get a fair trial there. How much of a concern is that?
Yeah, look, Alvin Bragg wants a media circus here. He's a far-left Democrat politician who knows that his political constituency loves the fact that he's prosecuting President Trump. This is a trial that's going to be held in the media capital of the world in New York City. We believe that it's almost impossible to impanel a fair jury under these circumstances, especially while a presidential election is ongoing with wall-to-wall media coverage. I mean, this is the opposite sort of setting any fair-minded prosecutor would want for a case like this. And yet again, we're being rushed to trial, and we're going to have to go through that process in the coming weeks. It's worth noting also that Judge Mershon has indicated that some of the questions he's going to ask jurors are allowed to be the parties to ask jurors involve things like, do you watch Fox News? Yeah. Have you ever read an article on Breitbart? We're deeply, deeply concerned that what's going to end up happening here is that a far left jury of Trump haters is going to be impaneled, thereby depriving President Trump of his right to a fair trial and really removing any question about the fairness of all of these proceedings. So that's something to watch closely as we move into jury selection early next week.
You know, I was looking at this jury questionnaire, which you can see, by the way, maybe we can even tweet it out at Seb Gorka at America First. Will, it's so funny because I just during the summer was selected for jury. And of course, I did my due diligence. I did my duty. Thankfully, it took 3 days for jury selection. It was just a simple drunk driving case. And of course, the minute the defense could throw me off because I said I was a conservative talk host, they did. But the questions for a drunk driving case, have you ever had a problem with alcohol? Have you ever been convicted of drunk driving? These jury questions are insane. You brought up, have you ever watched Fox News? They want you to write down every print publication, cable or media network that you watch, including, and they've got Truth Social on there. They have Newsmax. They have Fox News, as you mentioned. Do you listen or watch podcasts? And they've got, you have to list out which ones. Do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? Now, I have a feeling if the prosecutors see that somebody's listening to America First, like you all are today, by the way, and we thank you for that, I have a feeling they might be throwing those people out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's like, are you or have you ever been a conservative? Do you have any family members who like President Trump? I mean, it's so clearly designed to yield what they want, which is a show trial, that it's almost it's almost inconceivable that this is the process we're going to have to go through. But look, we have a highly experienced trial team led by a lawyer named Todd Blanche, another lawyer named Emil Bove. They're outstanding trial attorneys, long experienced with prosecution and with criminal defense. They're going to do their best to ensure that President Trump has a fair trial and ultimately that truth and justice prevail in this case. And we're going to see that play out in public view.
The sad thing is, Will, and you know, as I do, I know we are hopeful that President Trump can prevail in this. But they are desperate to say that he is. They want to convict him because they want that to be next to his name as he's running until November, that he is a convicted candidate for president now. And that's what they're looking for. They want to add that to his title in the newspaper.
Yeah, look, when you look at all of the legal filings in all of these cases, that's so clearly the intent. That's so clearly the objective that it jumps out at you. I mean, Jack Smith has pushed again and again and again for expedited timelines, particularly in the D.C. case, trying to rush that prosecution to trial before the election, which just given the scope of the case, the scope of discovery, it should be offensive to any reasonable prosecutor, to any reasonable lawyer, just any reasonable American, what they're trying to do here. And the crazy thing is just how upfront and honest they are about their intent.
Yeah.
They want to interfere with the 2024 election, and that's just wrong.
I agree with you, but the left always tells you what they want to do. We just have to be there to listen. Will Scharf, we wish you the best of luck in your race for attorney general in Missouri. We wish you and President Trump, of course, the best of luck next week. Give him a follow at Will Scharf on X. Will, thanks so much for being with us. More up ahead, Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and legacy precious metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to LegacyPMInvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
I'm sorry, but this song is really one of the best ones. And I really think it's time for the truckers to get a convoy together so we can hear more of this. Welcome to America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka today. Thank you for joining us. Gosh, I host The Morning Answer on AM 870, AM 590, The Answer in Southern California. Hope you'll join me. If you're in California, you could download our app, AM 870. And always love to be in for Dr. G. I'm here with him normally on Wednesdays as well, talking about crazy California. Now, speaking of crazy California, our border, it's wide open. You've got Chinese nationals that are marching their way into our state of California. We have people coming in this country from Texas through Arizona, and we are starting to pay the price and see the consequence of millions of people coming into the country under the Biden administration's open border policies. Joining us right now is Todd Benzman. He's an investigative author and wrote the book from 2023, Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. And boy, did he. Todd Benzman, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to America First. It's nice to meet you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Now, I do want to start with a story out of my home state of California. When on Friday, homicide detectives with the Fresno County Sheriff's Office arrested an 18-year-old who was here illegally for killing Fraley Hernandez. He didn't just kill him. He dismembered him, shoved him into a parked vehicle. And that was back in January. January 6th is when they believe he was killed and dismembered. The investigators found him January 17th in a car parked in an orchard in Fresno, in the area, kind of central California. Now, this 18-year-old guy here illegally has been arrested for this murder and the dismemberment of a 20-year-old man from California. And homicide detectives revealed that this is someone who was here illegally. He was here from Guatemala, or excuse me, from El Salvador, and was wanted there. He was charged with beating up his own mother in El Salvador. Now, Biden likes to say it's these good people looking for a safe place to come to America, but we are getting a lot of criminals who are coming into this country to do no good.
The problem is, in addition to the fact that they're coming into the country with criminal history and up to no good, is that the Biden administration has stopped deporting the bad guys. There are some deportations, but the number of deportations of criminal aliens has sharply plummeted for 3 years straight, year after year. There are hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens with final removal orders on them that are not being removed. And the numbers, just to give you an idea, just a few years ago, you know, under Obama, was, you know, 380,000 a year deported people with final removal orders, and before that it was always in the 400,000 range. Now it's at like 150,000, 170,000 tops, because the administration decided that deportation was cruel and unusual, and so they're just going to tamp it down. Mayorkas came into office immediately saying, we're not going to be doing deportations like we were, folks, so stand down. And they put rules into effect for ICE agents to chain themselves to the desk.
And even before that, in my state of California, Gavin Newsom was very happy to say that California would be a sanctuary state. And so you can maybe look, I don't make this argument because I think we need to have law and order at our border. It needs to be followed. That's what benefits our country. There are a lot of people that come to the country. We are a country of immigrants, but they need to come here the right way. But even the people who come here and don't break the law, OK, fine, we can have an argument about whether to deport them or not. But the people who come here and commit crimes are not being deported either. In my home state of California, you've got sheriffs, you have elected state officials who will not even allow convicted criminals to be deported, Todd.
The result of that is always dead Americans. You're going to have people who would have been alive and happy and living their best lives who are dead and buried instead. That's the problem with this policy. It is real. It has real consequences. It's not sort of just theoretical, you know, kind of pie in the sky thinking. It's real people dead and victimized and raped and robbed and all the rest of that because of these policies. And I think people, we just need to remember that these are real Americans that are being victimized and robbed of their life and liberty.
Absolutely. Todd Benzman is with us. He's the author of Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. And guys, I know we didn't talk about this, but let's play cut two, because Joe Biden, Todd, you probably saw this, spoke with Univision, and they asked him if he was going to use executive order to try to control what's going on at the border. His answer is almost laughable. It is absolutely atrocious. This is what he says. Cut to.
Well, it suggested that we're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation. And some have suggested I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work through that right now.
Todd, he's not worried about being shut down by the court when he's relieving student loan debt, but he is worried about being shut down by the court when it comes to his executive order on the border. Now, you study this. You are the expert. It seems to me that the problems on the border started with Joe Biden's executive orders. Of course, he could reverse those policies.
Starting with Remain in Mexico, which has been upheld all the way to the Supreme Court, it is it's the first arrow in his quiver and the sharpest one, the longest and the fastest of all of the tools that he could bring to bear that would shut this thing down in about an hour. Nobody is coming for the great Mexican dream. They're applying for asylum and international protection inside the United States that they're not eligible for because they'll be released inside the United States. So that's for starters. But we also saw that the president had no problem when it comes to his reelection campaign of having Mexico shut down a lot of this illegal flow on its southern border over the last 3 months straight with a simple diplomatic trip or two to Mexico City. They cut a deal with Lopez Obrador down there. I just returned from Mexico. I watched the Mexicans go medieval on immigrants all over Chihuahua State just last week, 30,000 troops. He could have done this 3 years ago, like Donald Trump did. Instead, he lifted the Trump threat against Mexico tariffs, and that, you know, freed the Mexicans to just say, okay, let them flow. Now we've got Obrador saying things like, if you don't give me $20 billion, guess what? I'm going to let the flow go. But the point is that he could have done what he did in Mexico 3 years ago, and they've cut the numbers by about half just from that.
We've got a couple of more minutes left in this segment. I appreciate you sticking around for another segment as well. We can talk about Mayorkas and what that impeachment looks like and some of the real problems at the border. But one of the other things that Biden repeats over and over again is that he needs Congress to act. And again, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 2. It's sitting in the Senate. It's stalled out. This is not necessarily, I mean, it'd be great if the House would act. But to me, this means that Biden's looking for amnesty. He's looking to attach aid for Ukraine and other things to what would probably be a lackluster border security bill. We already have what we need. We just need to enforce the law.
I just want to point out that the piece of legislation that he keeps pointing to in his campaign here that failed would have allowed all asylum seekers to be freed inside the country, even if for 90 days. Well, we know what happens there, that they disappear. They never show up. That piece of legislation would have codified the situation that we have right now and guaranteed hundreds of thousands a year crossing the border would have guaranteed it and forced the next administration to try to wriggle out of a piece of legislation that had codified it's just bogus. The whole thing about that piece of legislation, it did the exact opposite of what they're saying it would have done.
It is pretty amazing, the lies that come out about what we really need to do to secure this border. And Todd Bensman, thank you for being here with us. Stick around. We're going to have you come back for the next segment. Get his book right now, Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. You can also follow him on X at Bensman Todd. There is lots more to discuss, including the impending impeachment of Mayorkas and just who is coming into the country now. It's a scary story when we talk about it. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code G-O-R-K-A or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. Welcome back to America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka today. Glad to have you along with us. And I just got a text message from Dr. G himself, and he said, make sure you tell the listeners that he is at Mar-a-Lago today. He is celebrating Truth Social going public. So think about the schedule. We know President Trump was in Atlanta today. He was there doing a fundraiser. I think he's expected to make about $15 million. He'll be back at Mar-a-Lago tonight, and he'll be celebrating the launch of Truth Social as a publicly traded company. So Dr. G is there and chatting with the boss. He'll be back with you tomorrow, and lots of fun. I think maybe one day we're going to have a listener trip to Mar-a-Lago with Dr. G. We'll see if we can work that out. I'll coordinate. All right, joining us right now to talk about all things immigration, Todd Bensman is with us. You can follow him on X at Bensman Todd. He is the author of the book Overrun, which you should pick up right now, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. He's also a writer for Newsweek, The New York Post, The Federalist, and a whole lot more. Todd, thanks so much for hanging on with us. Now, I think just to kind of get a scope of the problem, because we have seen, you know, I think when people thought about the border a few years ago, we think of people coming in from Mexico looking for a better life. That is no longer the problem. What worries me today is that people are coming into this country for nefarious reasons, and they're slipping by using the cover of people who might be coming here for an opportunity, but they're coming in from all over the place. They're coming in from the Middle East. They're coming in from China. I live in California, and the big story for us when it comes to immigration are the amount, the hundreds of military-age men that are coming into this country alone, not with families, not with wives, by themselves. President Trump's been asked about this. He says, could it be that they're trying to build a military here? The problem is we just don't know. And that's the job the Biden administration should be trying to initiate. And that's finding out, Todd, what are the top problems right now? What are the hot spots on the border?
Right. Well, the places where they're really pouring in right now is Arizona and California. Mm-hmm. I think we've had about 50,000 Chinese. You mentioned, like, you know, we don't really know, you know, who they are. For Chinese, we used to, when they cut, Chinese have always been coming to the border, nowhere near in these numbers, but they have all often crossed the border. And so we had these questions developed. There were like a list of 40 different questions that Border Patrol was supposed to ask to kind of drill down to find out who they really are. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration very recently reduced that to five questions. And I'm guessing that they probably don't even ask one question most of the time. Almost all of those Chinese are ushered right in. And from 160 other countries around the world, more than 45% of everybody reaching the southern border is not from Mexico or Central America. They're from all these other places. And these are places that don't have intelligence databases or are shareable, or they're hostile to us, or we're diplomatically estranged. We're not going to ever get an intel share from the Taliban, I'm sorry, or from Syria's, Assad, or really, you know, Haiti doesn't even have a president right now. And I don't even think they have working computers, or Venezuela or Cuba or any of these places. And that's really the ultimate stranger danger about this border crisis is, you know, say what you want about, oh, you know, people fleeing oppression and certain death. But I'm sorry, that is not always an American problem to solve. Sometimes you have to do it in a way that protects the American people from security issues. No other country, by the way, does this. There is no, name me another country that just lets 100% of everybody who reaches the border, like right into your country in a day.
Nobody does that. And even under UN standards, if you're looking for asylum, you're supposed to go to the safest country that's closest to you. And the United States is not the safest country in many of these cases to all the people that are coming in here. It's unbelievable. And it also, the humanity of it, I think it's really interesting to see Democrats and to see the Biden administration paint this as a humanitarian issue. But what they're doing is they're making it a humanitarian issue because they're incentivizing people to come here. And that means sex trafficking. It means drug trafficking. It means all of the drugs and the fentanyl that come into this country that people are overdosing on. This is a humanitarian issue. But it's not about taking in everybody. It's about protecting the citizens that are here, creating laws so that cartels can't exploit the border. Right now, they're the ones running it.
Well, I think it's important for people to remember, you know, we're in silly season here. This is the election campaign. Information warfare is hot and heavy on this issue. This is a top issue. And we're really just getting a lot of disinformation and misinformation, maybe for a little bit from both sides. But the point I'm trying to make is that one of the biggest pieces of disinformation that you will hear during this campaign is that all of these people are fleeing absolute certain death.
Yeah.
We must let them in because they are fleeing definite death and persecution. And I'm here to tell you, I have spent the last 3 years with those immigrants. I've interviewed thousands of them. I'm just back from 5 days on the Mexican side in Juarez. I don't even go to our side. I only go to that side so that I can hang out with the immigrants. And the vast majority of them were living safe, prosperous lives in other third countries. Most of the Venezuelans have not lived in Venezuela in years and years. And they're coming in claiming humanitarian protection based on, I was coming from Venezuela. I was coming from Haiti. They haven't been in Haiti in 8 years. They've been living perfectly fine in other places. But because the border's wide open, they figure, well, I can get a quick upgrade. It's like if you have regular cable, you get like now all the premium channels for free. Why not? You know?
You know, in our final moment here with you, Todd, I think it's important to talk about Alejandro Mayorkas. The House is sending articles of impeachment over to the Senate next week. It's expected to fizzle out, but you've got a group of Republicans who are going to try to at least force the issue. But I thought it was interesting. The leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, said that you can't impeach someone on policy issues. Now, there isn't a policy issue here. They are not doing the job. That's just it. They are not protecting us. They are not securing our southern border. Mayorkas has not done that. This isn't a policy issue. This is a failure of job issue.
Well, I just want to point out about the impeachment, and this gets lost a lot, is that Louisiana and Texas versus Biden and Mayorkas, accusing them of failing to carry out the letter of the congressional statute. The Supreme Court, in a very disturbing majority opinion, essentially ruled that they don't have to follow the law. It's not the Supreme Court's place to judge whether they follow the law and make them follow the law. The Supreme Court opinion, the majority opinion, was if you want to make the executive follow the law, you have to use impeachment. You have to use the power of the purse. You have to use all these other things. And that's all this is. The impeachment is doing what the Supreme Court told them to do. It's their only lever.
It's their only way forward. Right.
Right. Todd, and people forget about that.
Todd, thank you so much. You've got so much great information. Todd Bensman is the author of Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. You can give him a follow as well on X and all the social media platforms at Bensman Todd. Todd, thank you so much. I'm Jennifer Horn, and for Dr. Sebastian Gorka, this is America First.
I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. Dr. Sebastian Gorka out today, and you know where he is, guys. If he's not here and he's not with his lovely wife, my friend Katie Gorka, well, then he might be at Mar-a-Lago. It's always a safe place. He told me I should tell you guys he is there. He is celebrating the launch of Truth Social as a publicly traded company. So he is with the boss, Donald Trump, today at Mar-a-Lago. So he'll have great stories for you tomorrow on America First. He'll be back in studio then. In the meantime, appreciate you spending your time with us. And speaking of President Trump, he is due to be in court on Monday for the first of many trials. Now, his legal team has tried to delay these trials, tried to make claims of asking for a change of venue and other things. Unfortunately, the judge in the case says, no, we are moving forward. So as it stands now, President Trump will be in court for the so-called hush money trial with Stormy Daniels and Alvin Bragg, the DA in Manhattan, starting on Monday. It's expected to last about 6 to 8 weeks. Joining us right now is an attorney for President Trump. He is an attorney who does great work. He's an America First guy for sure. Jesse Benal is with us, Jay Benal on X, and you can follow him at Benal.com as well. Jesse, you've got a beautiful backdrop today. Thanks for joining us. I know you're on the road. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's always great to join you guys.
Now, I want to start things off because a voice from the past has surfaced. Michael Avenatti, with a jailhouse call to MSNBC, commented on this upcoming case that starts on Monday for President Trump. Check this out. This is Cut 10.
I think the case has a lot of problems. Now, that does not, I don't mean to suggest that that means that Trump will not be convicted, because I think he will be convicted. Because number one, he's a criminal defendant, and in our society, I don't believe the criminal defendants generally get a fair shake. In fact, I think that the percentage of convictions demonstrates that the deck is stacked decidedly against all criminal defendants, number one. Number two, I don't think that he can get a fair trial in New York. And to the people who claim that, in fact, he can get a fair trial in New York with a New York jury, I would ask them, if they were to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and find out that the case had been moved to Mississippi or Alabama, would they still think that the trial was going to be fair? And I think if they were being honest, they would answer no.
Now, that's live from Terminal Island Prison. That's Michael Avenatti, the former attorney for Stormy Daniels. Remember, he was going to run for president. So, Jesse, even Michael Avenatti says that this is just not a great trial. Expect a conviction, but it's not a great trial. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
Well, he was saying the quiet part out loud. He was saying it on MSNBC, and you see the discomfort on the host's face when he's talking about that, because everybody knows what he just said is true, is absolutely 100% true. And I don't believe I'm sitting here agreeing with Michael Avenatti, but the two things that he just said are completely accurate. First of all, it's very, very unfortunate, but in our country, you have all these procedural safeguards as a criminal defendant, but in reality, well over 95% of criminal cases result in a conviction. It's not that way in other countries, like, for instance, in England, where our system comes from. It's more of a 50-50 chance. And so I think he is absolutely 100% accurate about the problems with our criminal justice system. And he's even more accurate with the fact that there's no chance that President Trump can get a fair trial in New York City. And as infuriating as that is, that's exactly why this prosecutor has decided to go after him in New York. That's exactly, I mean, we see it in a judge who, is a Joe Biden donor, and said last year when he was asked to recuse himself that even though he's a Biden donor, he looked within his heart and he was sure that he could be fair. Well, of course, we've seen what he's done since then. We know that's absolutely inaccurate. It's infuriating that he's still on this case right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is Judge Marchand, whose daughter is a huge donor. I mean, Judge Marchand himself has donated to Joe Biden, but the daughter has collected millions of dollars for Democrat causes. And I think it's worth pointing out, we'll talk more about this in the next segment, but Jesse, in New York, you have Alvin Bragg, who's the DA in Manhattan. You've got Letitia James, who's the attorney general on in New York. Both of them ran on a platform of going after Donald Trump. So if this is a state and a city that is willing to vote for these people, then, you know, it might be tough to get a fair trial. Hang on the line, because we're going to have you come back and we're going to dig into what the next few weeks are going to look like and what will happen if President Trump is convicted. What does that do for his campaign? You know, the media is dying for it. Jesse Banal is with us. He fights for the Constitution. He is an attorney for President Trump as well in his civil immunity cases. You can follow him at Jay Banal and check him out, banal.com. Jesse Banal will be right back. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Michael, have you been in touch with D.A. Bragg's office? And what specifically in evidence or logic do you think is wrong with this case?
Well, I'm going to decline to answer as to whether I've been in touch with, you know, either the defense or the D.A.'s office.
Okay, so that means yes, but there you go. That's Michael Avenatti, who did a jailhouse call to MSNBC and Ari Melber talking about the Trump trial. He thinks that the trial set to start next week isn't a good trial, and it's not going to be great. He doesn't think, and he's no fan of President Trump. He thinks it looks flawed, but he also wouldn't say if he spoke to the DA's office, which means he could be looking for a little handout, a little pardon. Jesse Banal is with us, Jay Banal on Twitter/X, and he is an attorney, America First style, fighting for the Constitution. Jesse, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much. I love being here.
So, Michael Avenatti, you think he's looking for a pardon there? Because it seems like the answer, if you've talked to the DA's office and you haven't, is no. That seemed to mean his yes was very it was loud in its silence.
I will tell you that as with most people in jail, they will do just about anything they can to get out. And I suspect that's even more true than usual with Michael Avenatti, who, of course, lived quite the high profile lifestyle before he started enjoying his new digs in prison. And he's got a long road ahead of him. So I suspect he would love to do it. But his comments were very interesting on that interview.
All right. Well, let's talk about the trial that is coming up, because Monday is the day jury selection will start. This jury questionnaire is wild. It has been published already. They're asking what podcasts people look at or listen to, what talk radio shows they listen to, what news outlets they use. Jesse, I know we talked about Manhattan being a rough spot for President Trump. This jury questionnaire indicates that they are going to look for people who are not the Fox News Newsmax type, it seems.
Well, I mean, that's certainly why the district attorney has brought this in a place like Manhattan, is because they think that it's going to be very likely they're going to get a jury that is just filled with Trump haters. You know, wouldn't want a president that was popular in either Manhattan or Washington, D.C. In my mind, popular in those two jurisdictions is a sign of poor character, quite frankly. So Alvin Bragg is going to do everything he can, I think, to make sure that he has a poisoned jury. And that's because he's drawing it from a poisoned jury pool. But one thing I think that we are going to probably see is how the jury pool really has the deck stacked against President Trump from the beginning.
How does this play out? Once the jury is seated, obviously the trial will start. President Trump will have to be off the campaign trail for a number of weeks. He'll be in court to watch all of this, I'm sure. How do you expect this to go?
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's remember that a criminal trial is a little bit different from some of the civil trials that we've seen recently. In a criminal trial, you don't have a choice about whether you're in attendance. You have to be in attendance at your trial. And so you're exactly right that quite frankly, the entire purpose of this is to get Donald Trump off the campaign trail. They think this is going to give a big advantage to Joe Biden, you know, which is why you have a Joe Biden donating judge on the bench. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think is really important to remember is the matchups that you've had in these New York cases. In the civil case, you had Letitia James and Judge Enger on, you know, both certified Trump haters. Letitia James campaigned about going after President Trump. Judge Engoron was, you know, when he wasn't sitting there hamming it up for the cameras, he was bragging about his actions in the case on his high school alumni newsletter. Completely inappropriate. And we are now seeing the same thing with Alvin Bragg, who's going to do everything he can to try to sideline President Trump and affecting the presidential election. And he found a judge who not only donated to Joe Biden, but whose daughter is financially vested in this case, and I mean is politically vested in the outcome of the election, and that certainly shows an appearance of partiality, and it makes it so that this is the really sad thing for those of us who have such reverence for the American rule of law is. It makes it so that the American people, that the public, can't trust the result of this election. They can't trust that, you know, that it's going to be truth and justice that prevails rather than a political narrative, which is exactly why this judge should have recused himself from the beginning, and it's exactly why venue should be transferred to someplace else. Actually, the case never should have been brought from the first place.
What do you think if there's a conviction? Because I believe that the deck is stacked. I believe they're going to convict him. I believe they want to. And I think that they want to be sure that they can note in the headlines that this is presidential candidate Donald Trump, now a convicted criminal.
Yeah, that's exactly the headline that they're looking for. But here's what they don't understand is that the American people aren't nearly as stupid as they think the American people are. You know, and that goes for, you know, people like Jack Smith and Alvin Bragg. And so many of these other judges and prosecutors that are so politically invested in going after Donald Trump, they think the American people are stupid and are going to vote based on these headlines. The American people know exactly what's going on right now. They know that these cases aren't being brought out of, you know, some honest prosecutorial duty to go do justice rather than go after and try to pursue a particular person that they politically dislike. The American people know exactly what's going on. They know how dirty this is. They know it makes us look like a banana republic. So I firmly believe that even if there is a conviction, the American people are going to – I mean, first of all, they're going to see that, you know, Stormy Daniels, you know, in President Trump just reposted a letter from her from 2018 saying that there was no relationship to begin with.
Right.
And so there's no factual basis for this. There certainly is no legal basis for this. They're trying to tie this to federal election law. And you have federal election commissioners, former federal election commissioners, who have gone on record saying that there's absolutely no legal basis to say that a non-disclosure agreement is a violation of campaign finance law.
They want to pick it up.
Exactly.
Jesse Bernal, this is what is so important. And even if there is a conviction here, and I hope President Trump does prevail, and he should, because this is baseless. This is not hush money. This is ridiculous. But if indeed that's the case, I think you're right. The American people are smart enough to see through it. Jesse Bernal, thanks so much for what you do. Thanks for keeping up the fight. Jay Bernal on X and Bernal.com. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G. This is America First.